In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I'm Pat Nevin.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to yet another episode of the London is Blue podcast. This one, a little bit special. November in review, not a match review. All right, not a match preview. Something a little bit different. Something we started this season, actually. So as always, your host, Brandon, joined by Nick and Dan. Gentlemen, don't know what you're doing, don't really care, because we got a lot to talk about in this one. So I guess before we get into the meat of this one, Nick, you want to hijack this right out of the gate.
That's right. It's all about merch. So we're going to do a quick merch update since we're at the end of November and into December by the time you listen to this. You've heard about our Merch Madness thing. We're buying, we want to know what the best American, Australian, whatever, Chelsea adjacent merch. So if you have a chapter or you've done your own kind of designs, we want to know about it. We will buy those at full price. We'll rank them in some sort of tournament style thing once we get them. And then we will do some sort of donation to a local bar to help out bars and restaurants during the pandemic, or we'll donate to a charitable cause of your choice if you win this thing. So send us DMs, send us emails, do the whole thing, let us know what you got, and we'll be on that. So we'll help you twice. Then a quick update before we get, I'll pass over to Dan for Imperial Wharf. We have teased doing merch. We're still in the progress of doing it. Working on some designs. They're taking a little longer than I had anticipated, which was wholly my fault and no one else's, since I've owned this project for our team. So just know that we are likely not going to be able to get anything out before the Christmas shipping period, which is a massive bummer. However, we will get something done in the next few weeks, and then by the early part of January, you should be able to have something from London is Blue. So just a quick update on the merch. Dan.
Well, for those who don't know, we've talked about it. We had the co-founder and wonderful member who's sponsored or kind of kickstarted Imperial Wharf, Louis Benevente, on the show previously to talk about the partnership that we had. We're a sponsor of the kit this season. You can get the London is Blue badge on it, which is pretty neat. But their jersey and their kit is available now, and we've actually seen a couple of our patrons in Discord who've been buying them up, trying to put them out of stock, which is really cool to see. But we'll tweet out the link in case you're looking to buy it, to purchase one. They're pretty cool kits. They've got a really nice design, and I think in general, it's definitely something that's a little bit more bespoke than the traditional Nike, Adidas, Hummel kit that you're going to typically get. This one is, top to bottom is a bespoke item.
Yeah, it's cool. We're on a shirt. We're a shirt sponsor. It's cool. Why not? Go do it.
Yeah. And again, the idea is really understand grassroots football over there. And this is a great way for us to kind of attach ourselves to the team and follow along. So anyways, let's go ahead and move on. So we're just going to be talking about November, right? We do a lot of different things here. Results, player of the month, result of the month, goal of the month, just a lot of different things like that. It's a good way to kind of, not just react singularly to the team. I think this is a good chance to maybe take those individual performances
at
a bigger, exactly, and add a little bit more of the bigger picture when we analyze it. So really been enjoying doing this. So to preview, or to actually review the matches we had five this month. So we had two in the Champions League, and they were both at Rennes. And we had three Premier League matches: Sheffield United, Newcastle United did the business, took the points, and we drew versus Spurs. So overall, really good month. Again, as we talk about that 14 match unbeaten streak, this goes into it. So 3-0 against Rennes, with the wild red card. Then we came back and beat Sheffield United 4-1, beat Newcastle 2-0, turned around, beat Rennes 2-1, a little bit tighter. And then we just drew Spurs 0-0. So that is the month of results that happened. So, Dan, you know what to do. 3-word month / match review.
Yeah, it's a 3-word review of the month. Maybe we can word it a little bit differently to make it easier rolling off the tongue. But yeah, there are a couple good ones here. You know, I think that we pulled some from our wonderful Patreon / Discord community. We got a couple from Twitter. And then we've got the ones that we're going to share. Mr. Thurman, straight out the gate, we are ready. You know, what's coming? Chelsea's coming down the pipe. That's great. Classic A6 in the race. You know, you see the kind of top of the table. That's where we're at. We're going for it. Jay, finding our identity. You know, starting to understand, pull back the curtain a little bit, see what Frank is cooking. Cool Beans with 4-3-3. Pretty simple. We found a formation. We're sticking with it. Hidden Gym with busy making progress. You know, Chelsea did have a lot of work to do. Tana with belief is building, which is going to frustrate Nick to no end hearing something like that. And then Mr. Mark with unbeaten in November, !!, which reads like a tweet from a world leader, but also, you know, just carries across a sort of oomph behind it.
So I went with bringing swagger back. I love our goal difference right now, you know, minus really one slip. I think we're playing some really exciting attacking football. You know, you think about beating Sheffield 4-1, Burnley the last month 3-0, Ren 3-0, albeit that was a little bit weird, 2-0. I mean, for the most part, we're creating a lot of chances. Our XG has been great, and we're not only creating chances but finishing them. So again, you know, Chelsea bringing some swagger back. You really have to respect our attack, which probably didn't expect that coming out of last season. So Nick, over to you.
Approaching the Rapids.
I like this.
This is like, look, we can be honest about this. November was a relatively simple, straightforward schedule, right? You know, Sheffield United, clearly not what they were last year at all. Newcastle, not great. You know, Ren, pretty bad. Spurs, you know, all right. But, you know, there's more to come now. The Rapids are what we went through in our Spurs review, which is the slate of matches coming up. And it'll be interesting to see, Dan, if we can navigate said Rapids.
Yeah, I went with foundation fully set. You know, we put ourselves into the round of 16. We are in the top three in the table heading into December. You know, that now you build upon everything that you've done great work in November, getting set, getting ready to go, particularly that long international break. So yeah, I'm generally very happy.
Well, if you didn't make the cut, go ahead and tweet at us what your 3-word match review was. We'll definitely month review. Yeah,
it's not about not making the cut. It's just that there's a lot of responses, and I try to kind of come across gamut.
I meant if you didn't make like the deadline cut, right? Like just now realizing it, like throw it in there, throw it in the mix.
Don't make it feel bad.
Yeah,
if you aren't good enough, try again.
You missed the deadline. Sorry. All right. Well, let's start off with a softball here with our favorite match. Dan, since you didn't make the cut, we'll go ahead and let you.
Well, there were a lot to choose from, all five, and you know, you'll have more next month to choose from. But in this month of November, I went with Sheffield. I think the win versus Sheffield was comprehensive. You had goals from across the spectrum. And, you know, when you think about just the opportunity for Ziyech's kind of, I would call that his real coming out party to the Premier League, was fantastic and was probably the best single match performance we had across the month. So
you can see it.
So, I mean, you asked what my favorite match was. I don't have to have a clean sheet to be happy.
No, you were just saying
it
was like most dominant performance. So I just thought I'd check. All right. Nick, what about you?
Mine is a weird one. But it's the match at Ren. We won late with the Giroud header. I think we've been beating up on Minnows for a little bit, and I wanted to see if this team could play a bad football match and still win, and we did that. Now, was it the most convincing win? No. But I think they showed heart at the end. I think they showed they could claw, you know, a victory out of a draw, which is going to be super important as we head into the rest of the year, because you know, the more belief you build in these matches, like I remember, you know, in Conte's first season, we were able to come back in those first couple of matches. It just kind of gives you the belief that you can keep doing it. And that's why I think this was really important.
Yeah, Hudson-Odoi with the opening goal. Obviously, they got theirs in Guirassy. And then his fight back at the end with Giroud. That showed a lot of character, I think, and that's important. Along those same lines, I did Newcastle post-break. Again, it wasn't my favorite match to watch necessarily. What was it, 0-0 at halftime? But again, seeing a little bit of adversity coming off of a break, you know, a lot of players, you know, are away on international duty. Thankfully, no one got injured. So, like, post-international breaks, I always worry about those matches because there's so many things. There's travel. You lose Thiago Silva every single time. By the way, if you think Thiago Silva shouldn't play for Brazil, they're ranked 3 in the world. You think he's going to turn down the chance to play for the 3rd best country in the world leading up into, you know, whatever tournaments they have this summer? Like, let's not be silly. But again, took care of business. Newcastle can be a bogey team for us. They can be annoying to a lot of teams. And so, again, 2-0 out of the break after 0-0 halftime. If my memory serves me right, it just was, again, a character showing one, and it reestablished momentum that, hey, we're not skipping a beat. We're right back into this. Let's go. And it got us through the rest of the month, I think, pretty well. So that's what I chose. So you guys can let us know what you think your favorite match was. Again, we want this to be a participation episode. So tweet at us, social media, let us know. Otherwise, Discord, we'll be discussing it for sure. We're going to take a really quick ad break. Thank you to sponsors for financially supporting the show. We have a lot more after this, so don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. It's a lot. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
2020 has been hard enough. And you know what? Worrying about your routine for taking care of business below the belt shouldn't have to be one of those things you're concerned about. Thankfully, our friends at Manscaped are making your life simple, and they're going to allow you to turn your bathroom with a snap into your very own private, this is the exact copy from the text, dong salon. You know, they're concerned about your bangers and mash. They don't want it to look like a mess. You know, they don't want it to be the worst. Get it? Bangers and mash and worst. Anyway, they just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer offers a replaceable ceramic blade with the advanced skin-safe technology that helps reduce grooming accidents. That's a plus. Waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower and for up to 90 minutes, hopefully not all in one sitting. And they also released their Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on for their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Their perfect package, pun intended, comes with 2 free gifts and other liquid formulations to help complete your ball trimming routine. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraffin-free, if you know what all those are, to keep your, yes, this is in the text too, disco stick in good hands. Look, you're probably thinking about it, you know, you want to keep yourself smelling fresh. You got the crop preserver for keeping the odor to a minimum downstairs. They've got a crop reviver toner that is spray-on for the jewels. And then they've also got a foot duster deodorant. So good, you can even reduce the odor of the dirtiest feet. All these things sound great. And you know what? They got a code for our listeners. London is blue. It's 20% off, free shipping at manscaped.com. And so, you know, if you want to protect the package and not have it be the worst, go hit it up now. Manscaped.com, use the code LONDONISBLUE for 20% off plus free shipping.
All right, so, Dan, you and your awards, right? Dan of the match. Now we've got Dan of the month. Which, again, rolls off the tongue, I tell you what. So, review us back, since it'll be our third of this season, who the previous winners are and kind of what's the criteria setting the stage.
Well, looking at the past five matches, which encompasses all of November, we had Werner versus Ren, part one. We had Ziyech versus Sheffield. We had Conte versus Newcastle. We had Mendy versus Ren, part two. And then we had Kovacic versus Spurs were our winners. But I mean, there were votes for Reece James across several of these. Giroud got some call-outs. Tammy in a few matches got a couple bit of shouts too. And so, definitely a gamut of players to choose from. And what's great, Nick, is it's becoming difficult for us in this. We don't like to bemoan or say, oh my gosh, we have it so tough, it's so hard to pick from all these great performances, but that's the scenario, right? Like, we actually have really great performances across several players.
Yeah, exactly. And again, this is a zoom out moment, right? You don't necessarily, if you pick, the winner of one of the Dan of the Match polls, because that's just one moment in time. So you have to zoom out across the body of work. And the body of work tells you kind of one thing, which is really exciting this time. And that is N'Golo Kanté is back. N'Golo Kanté had a stellar month. I think I'm on the record as a fan of N'Golo Kanté's work. And, I think we Brandon made a point when before we got on, which I will pass to him on. If you took him out of the lineup, where are we? Well, we're kind of where we are at the, in the Ren match when things weren't going so hot, right? I mean, that was, kind of the weakest performance of the month. So, I just think he's playing at a tremendous level right now. He's showing how just incredibly important he is to not only the balance of the squad, but the way that this team is starting to gel. And his destroyer attitude, Brandon, is 100% back to, pre-injury levels, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like the only match he didn't play this month was that Ren. And he came on as a sub semi-early on. And not saying he scored, right? But we went on to win. So, he definitely was a difference maker. And yeah, that's what, I was sitting there trying to force a little creativity, which is tough, for artists of such high level of myself, this mind. But that was the criteria I used, was if you pulled out Mendy, you're probably screwed. If you pull out Conte, you're probably screwed. But I just felt like, our center backs are much better than they were in front of Kepa last season. So while Mendy is doing a lot, I bet those guys could prevent more getting through to Kepa than we've seen in the past. And just N'Golo Kante's ability to run down everything, protect the back line, jumpstart the offense, just is so dynamic. I've admitted my mistakes of saying stupid things in the past about him. I'll continue to confess my sins, but N'Golo Kanté is like world class, next level. He is what, makes this team click in a lot of different ways, Dan. And the fact that you didn't choose N'Golo Kanté and you chose, Emerson Palmieri is just, it's mind boggling, honestly.
Wow, I don't think Emerson Palmieri was even in discussion for a Dan of the Match poll this month, and probably has not been for this season.
Wildcard Dan.
Well, there was the four Ziyeches for the match against Sheffield United. So, I mean, look, play by my own set of rules here. But N'Golo Kanté was it. I mean, he clean sweeps it here. I think the next one up, who would have been close for me, was Reece James. I think he has continued to level up. Just the way he bodied Kane in that last match was phenomenal. His pockets were a little bit heavier, much like Kanté. They were splitting loads between the two of them. But in general, it was great to see Kanté back, what we kind of described, to see James continue to level up. And I think Mendy would have also been a great shout too. A couple of times he was called upon, he was able to deliver the save we needed.
Well, I mean, it's what we talked about, right? It was hard. It was hard for me to not think about Tammy. It was hard for me to not think about my runner-up, which was Ziyech. You think about the way he started the month, his performance against Sheffield, I think, is probably our best performance of the season from an individual to this point. Now, I put a note in our script here. If he would have had a better performance against Spurs, he might have just nipped it for me. But I think the way that Conte has been consistently performing is just the difference maker, and he is well deserving of the Dan of the Month award.
Is that what we're going to call it now? Okay, settled. Done.
I don't love it.
Again, N'Golo Kanté, only held back by the ridiculous standard he has set for himself. And you know, bummer, you're so good. I wonder if he still drives that little Mini. He just is like this crazy humble guy. I wonder if he's upgraded since he got that bumper contract recently. Probably not. All right, goal of the month. Dan, I think I'll just toss it to you right away. I mean, this is pretty straightforward. Doesn't need a clever name. It's a favorite goal you watched hit the back of the net in the month of November.
Yeah, there were maybe a few less interesting ones to choose from this month. I think that there were a couple of really good ones against Sheffield. I think the Chilwell goal off of the Ziyech dead ball was pretty fantastic. And, you know, anytime you're running in and basically all you have to do is just notch your body into it, that's a good thing. And it just the movement on that ball was fantastic.
All right. Yep. So you giving more credit to Ziyech on that, it sounds like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ziyech made that goal happen. Chilwell just happened to be in the vicinity.
All right. I could have scored that goal, I know. Dan.
Nick Cordes.
A weird angle, you know, weird on the goalkeeper. He was hugging his pose. It didn't matter. He just roofed it right off the shin, right where he meant to. He was great. Nick, all right, then what is your goal of month then? And is this something that you could have done as well?
No, I'm very sure that this is not one that I could have done. Giroud against Ren is my goal of the month. It's a really, really, really good header off of a weird deflected ball that had no pace on it, and he put a bullet into the top of the net. He has the meaty French forehead. He's wonderful. So, goal of the month, Giroud, bam.
Agility, coordination, reactions. I mean, it's a pretty neat package, yes. I went with a bit of a throwaway goal, which is Thiago Silva versus Sheffield. You know, didn't mean much, you know, for the game, but seeing Thiago Silva score and his passion that it brought from him, seeing another center back score this month after you saw Zuma's missile header last month, I love seeing center backs score. There's just something about it that they don't do it a lot, so when it comes off, the celebrations are much more energized. I think the team are a lot more energized because, again, it doesn't happen a lot. And it was a deft header, just a little glance and just placed it in. And, again, just to see another side of how Thiago Silva can be a huge impact for this team. Like, it puts a huge smile on my face. Again, not the most important goal by any means, you know, in this one. If anything, I was really close to Tammy against Newcastle, not because of Tammy, but because of the run that Timo Werner had from midfield, just went around, you know, three defenders and laid it off so nicely. But, forwards are going to score. You know, I don't have a lot of time for forwards. Like, that's boring, you know?
I can't wait till our next category, which is Miss of the Month. We had a lot. We had a lot of candidates to talk about.
Timo Werner, boo, boo, boo. No. We'll kidding. Do surprise of the month here. Dan, you picked a couple of participation people out of Discord. It looks like this time. So surprise of the month. I mean, what do you mean surprise of the month? So vague.
Yeah, just something that caught you off guard, something you weren't expecting. You know, it's what a surprise is. I don't know if I need to read. Merriam-Webster defines a surprise as ..
It's a surprise. Ever heard of it, Brandon?
The two that I pulled out, I liked Kate's because it went, a more humorous angle, which was that Mason Mount still can't grow facial hair.
This is Kate's war. She will not let up until he fixes it.
No.
There's no fixing it. You got to let it get gross.
You got to reach out to him. You got to talk to him.
And then Preston with Tammy's contributions, inclusions in the starting 11, which, again, we talked about, I think, multiple times this month. You know, he went with the more serious angle, Kate with the more humorous angle. And then I think ours probably were shading more to the serious side. We didn't have as much fun with it.
Why? so serious.
All right, Nick. Wow. You be serious. You tell us what surprise caught you off guard this month.
My surprise is that it was a relatively easy month, and we did it without Pulisic, Havertz, or Callum for the majority of the month. Obviously, Callum got in against Rennes, but hasn't seen a whole lot of time this year. Havertz is out sick with coronavirus, and you know I obviously played against Sheffield, but missed a lot of the month, and then Pulisic's been hurt with the hamstring. So what's interesting, and I think is a good sign potentially, is if you do truly, you know, if you're Frank Lampard, you do truly have a fit squad, then your options in December against what I will be determining now as the Rapids, you have more players available and more quality players available to help take on some of these challenges, which is good.
Okay. I was surprised because I beat this drum all month. We Same. Barely rotated, and it actually worked. It held up. I thought for sure I was onto something. Yet here I am, sitting at the end of the month with nothing. Nothing but empty hands. So, turns out I'm not on Frank's backroom staff. And reminder set. So, but again, just the fact that we played, again, 5 matches plus international break. So those guys played, you know, 6, maybe 7 matches. You know, in this month, that's essentially 2 a week. And we, for the most part, played the same guys the entire time. So, again, I know to your point, Nick, we didn't have Pulisic, Havertz, Callum just didn't play much. And yet, it didn't bite us, at least yet, knock on wood. So, now, taking what we've seen and projecting to the future, Dan.
Does Dan not get his?
I apparently was surprised by nothing. Nothing surprised me.
Yeah.
I mean, fine. Oh, I thought you didn't make the cut, but I guess we'll let you go.
Wow, this is, man, Brandon Busby's upset today. But
harsh,
I think it was
harsh
the
grading.
Consistency in everything from the lineups to the results to the performances. There was just I didn't walk into any match day thinking that Chelsea were incapable of winning the match. I think that every match felt winnable to me. And that hasn't been the way I felt the past couple of seasons. There are definitely days where I walked in and I'm like, oh, okay, well, if we get a draw, I'm going to feel good about this relative. And this one, I kind of feel like the dominance, the swagger you talked about, Brandon, is back. And Chelsea, I don't know, I kind of expect us to go out and beat everybody. Consistency.
Everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Any given day, I would bet on our team.
All right, well, let's go check the score predictions and see how that went. But till we do that, as I started transitioning to one thing you want to see in December, because that is something that, you know, is always a fun game. No predictions. It's just, what would you like to see? We've got a few here from the socials, Dan. So, I guess can let you take these and let the listeners kind of lead us off. But, I mean, the options are endless here. You can literally choose anything.
Yeah. Well, there were some, again, ones that were super serious, like Jay talking about Havertz getting going, Havertz finally taking off. I think that would be a wonderful thing to see.
I mean, Jay is a super serious guy, just in general. No funny bone in that body.
Exactly.
You think football's fun?
We had Brosef, a.k.a. Joseph, with the topping the UCL group. And then relegating Arsenal, which, again, a little weird, but
okay.
Look where they're on the table. It's a possibility. And then Nash and then Akshay with a very similar one, which is just ruthlessness. They want to see an even more ruthless side, more clinical side, just kind of absolutely dominating teams in the month of December. December domination. That's what they want.
December domination. Now, that has a ring to it. Since we get to choose whatever we want, I said I want to smash Arsenal, multiple of 3 goals or more, and I want to beat City. So I had to make sure that those are different, right? I just want to beat City, but I want to smash 14th place Arsenal.
Don't we play City in January?
We do.
whatever. All right, you know, it's like the 2nd of January. So just roll it in. The fact is I want to beat the quote-unquote big teams. Unfortunately, Arsenal's not really a big team right now. So I guess I'll just take a smashing of that team since we didn't beat Tottenham. Dan, you're kind of the same, actually.
Yeah, you just rolled it into the script late, so you kind of stole mine, which feels unfortunate. But anyway, yeah, I said wins against top sides, not just draws. We're playing 5th place West Ham this month. We are playing 7th place Wolves, 8th place Everton, 10th place Aston Villa, and only one small club in the Premier League this month, 14th place relegation battlers Arsenal. Okay, like, we are playing top sides. We are playing teams that are going to be trying to vie for Europa. West Ham seemingly vying for a top four finish at the moment, playing really, really exceptional, getting, you know, a little screwy kind of result today, but that's kind of just the way it works sometimes. Yeah, I want us to win. Domination December needs to kind of be the name of the game.
I'll bring back Nick's point, though. Like, Arsenal are on 13 points, right? West Brom are 18th at the top of relegation zone 6. So if you added 7 points, they would be on 20 points and essentially ahead of us. So while they are in 14th place, they are much closer to Champions League spots at this point than relegation. But it's fun to kick a man while he's down.
They can't score from open play, though. They can't score from open play.
Look, they don't have a lot of firepower. We know Arsenal aren't built on strikers and wingers. I mean, come on now. Aubameyang signed that extension. Willian, Nicolas Pepe losing his head. Yeah, is Lacazette still there? I haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, it's pretty bad. But Nick, over to you. What is the wish you have for December?
Well, the wish I have is the wish that will make your dreams come true, which is we need squad players to raise their level during this period. Frank is not going to be able to keep the same lineup in all of December. He is going to need to rely on your squad players. And that squad player list is really, really long. It could include the likes of Fikayo Tomori or Rudiger. It could include the likes of Jorginho and Billy Gilmore. It could include Callum Hudson-Odoi. It could include and should include Christian Pulisic if he's healthy. And, you know, you kind of look at this. Oh, and of course, Olivier Giroud. It could include Olivier Giroud. And it could include, at the beginning of January, Kepa, which is really weird to say out loud. But that's another thing for another day. It's going to take an entire squad. You just talked about, you know, we talked about this the other day on the pod, but it's basically a match every 3 days in December, you know, and it's, we were doing our podcast calendar trying to fit all these reviews and previews and everything. It is wild stuff. And we're going to play 2 matches in 2 days at the end of the month. So squad
up. It's going to be important for sure. Maybe not. I mean, I've been talking about rotating for weeks now, and that didn't come to fruition. So, but no, I think even December would wreck any managers want to do that. All right. Well, might be a bit of a surprise transition here, but the men weren't the only team to play in November. So Women's Month in review. All right. So don't turn off the pod. All right. Stick in. All right. Get into this so we can enjoy it. But we should talk about the women's. It was a shorter month for them, in case you know about their schedule. They had a very long international break, pretty much wiped out half of the month. But it doesn't mean nothing happened. So, Dan, kudos to you. Or I'm sorry, Nick, kudos to you for pulling in a lot of the women's information. I'm really glad we're able to balance this out a little bit. Obviously, we're not quite there on the youth side, but we're going to get the women's in, and they deserve this. So the top goal scorer of the month, Nick, I believe you're quite familiar with this striker.
Beth England got her groove back.
Yeah.
Now, again, small sample size, but, you know, she did have 2 goals in the month. She is kind of rounding into form as one of the top scorers on the team. And, you know, Dan, looking at these results, some important rivalries in here, even, potentially?
Well, just remember, Spurs are a spot. The Tottenham Hotspur women are one spot ahead of relegation. It's a 12-team league, so keep that in mind that we're not beating the best side there. They only have 3 points for the season. We did thoroughly, though, beat Everton 4-0, the Everton women's team, a much better side comparatively, definitely one of the sides that's going to be fighting for one of the 3 Champions League spots. And then the clash of the Titans, as it were, Arsenal versus Chelsea, you know, that was a 1-1 draw and definitely had a lot of back and forth, could have been a higher scoring affair, just maybe not, and, you know, both the teams kind of came, I think, kind of came away with the idea that they could take a draw and it would be okay, particularly because Chelsea also have a match in hand. So, like, table as it stands, Manchester women on 17 points, Arsenal women on 16 points, and then the Chelsea women third place with the game in hand at 14 points. So we very quickly could win our game and be on the top of the table right with Manchester United.
Especially because our game in hand is against Villa or Bristol, and they're both pretty miserable at the bottom of the table. Yeah, look, goal scorers at this. Cuthbert and Loopholes against Tottenham. Love to see Cuthbert score. I got her on my kit. G, opener against Everton. Beth England, a brace in 3 minutes. And then Pernilla Harder in the 90th plus 7 minutes. She's not going to miss a chance to get on the score sheet, even if you're already up 3-0 in the 97th minute. And then to your point, we scored off an own goal against Arsenal. So we didn't score, but... if you missed it, we actually did a full match review for that. So go back and send our catalog and check it out. It was an intense match. I mean, two really top teams that were literally throwing punch for punch. It was not a Chelsea Tottenham kind of affair where it was quite boring. It was full of excitement.
I will say, out of those goals, if we were doing a goal of the month for the women's team, without question, it was Pernille Harder's goal. It was outside the box. She kicked it right into the top right corner. Actually, initially I thought, okay, it's going to sail just over. And it had this wicked whip back into the left and drop. Yeah. Oh, man. And credit to the Everton keeper. You know, she got as close as I think she humanly could to put herself in the position to try to make the play on it. That ball just had way too much groove to it.
Pernille Harder wins goal of the month, men or women.
Yeah. I mean, it was hands down.
It was that good. A note, though, on the Spurs result, that's in the Conte Cup, which is the League Cup. Mm-hmm. Chelsea also had a game canceled against the London City Lionesses, one of the great names in sports, due to COVID outbreak on their team. So that match still has to be rescheduled, and I'm not sure when that's going to happen, given that, you know, the Chelsea women also have some, you know, a decent slate of fixtures coming up in December as well. So it's just important to kind of look at that, Brandon, because season to date, you know, the Chelsea women haven't kind of reached the peak of their powers yet. You know, I think fair to say, given kind of where they were last year. But there have been some decent stats to review.
Yeah, look, we got a lot of goals to share around. Sam Kerr on top with 3. And I believe I should have gone and found the tweet, but she's an XG machine right now. She hasn't buried them all, but the amount of chances she has created and good chances is insane. It's almost like harder for her to miss as much as she has rather than scoring, especially with her record. So definitely expect her to come good. Then you got Beth England and Francesca Kirby. Fran Kirby. Obviously, she's having a tough season, but she's still up there with 3 goals as well. Pernilla and Maren Mielda, both at 2 each.
Nice thing with Fran is she has been posting, I think the club's official Chelsea women's account, we're posting the fact that she's back in training now too,
yep.
Which is a very, very good thing to see, because the front with her in it on the right wing and then Sam central is exceptional. Like, that partnership was really starting to blossom, and the kind of injury she picked up that forced her out with that, you know, I think didn't allow us to see, as Nick kind of alluded to, the full powers that the Chelsea women's side were starting to kind of manifest.
Yeah, that ankle injury that she picked up on England duty is ill times. But like you said, sounds like she's back in training, so hopefully seeing her soon. On the assist side, Erin Cuthbert, my girl, 3 assists. Beth England, 2 assists. Fran Kirby, 2 assists. Pernilla, 1. and Melanie Lupos one as well. So again, Beth England, 3 goals, 2 assists. Fran Kirby, 3 goals, 2 assists. That just shows you how involved they are in the attack, doing both sides of it, and a lot of creativity coming out of the midfield. We went over the table, so we can kind of jump. Like I said, Nick, you're talking about the FA WSL Cup, you know, when we where we beat Tottenham 2-0. But it just shows it can be a little bit different. I don't know. Maybe you're going to provide a little context. You know, smashing, I guess that was last month, but, you know, yeah. Arsenal 4-1. Anytime you can talk about it, you might as well, because it feels good. It feels good when you say it.
I mean, the Conti Cup is kind of equivalent to the Men's League Cup, where you're not going to play your first 11, most likely, in these matches. But you still win 4-1 against Arsenal in October. You beat Spurs 2-0. London City Lionesses should be a win whenever that match is rescheduled. So you're going to be through the group relatively unscathed, and kind of advancing on. And this is a competition that Chelsea won last year against Arsenal in the 88th minute or whatever, with Beth England getting her brace. So it's just, you know, it's another competition. You know that Emma Hayes wants to win it. I mean, flat out, it's the only thing that matters to her is trophies. Which, Dan, leads us into the big one coming up.
Well, the fact that the Champions League is kickstarting. We've got 2 matches coming up this December. You thought your match-watching calendar grid, if you forgot to click on the tab that turns on the women's matches in addition to the men's matches, you thought, okay, my December was a little rough. Well, your December is now jacked. Just phone your family, send them a letter, let them know you're not going to be attending any Zooms, you're not going to be attending any virtual happy hours for work. You got Chelsea matches to watch, and we got Benfica coming up in the round of 32, which is going to be very, very exciting to see. The Benfica women's team is really exceptional, and so it's going to be quite good. We got that happening on the 9th and the 16th of December.
It's a hard opening round of fixtures there. I mean, like, it's not easy. This Women's Champions League is no joke. And Chelsea did make the semis 2 years ago, but weren't quite good enough to make it over the hump. Brandon, this is what they've been waiting for, you know, to get back in this competition, give it another run.
Yeah, the signings back that. Like, our team is so deep. You can say it, far too good for just the FAWSL. Like, no disrespect to that league. It is getting more competitive. But when you go and get a Sam Kerr, Pernilla Harder, voted number one women's player in the world, by the way, by goal. Melanie Lupos came from Bayern Munich. Okay? Like, these signings are just wild. All right? Just going after the best absolute players. To not win one trophy, not win two, but 3. We're looking at trebles and quadruples with this team, and really in a good position to do it. And then, you know, might as well cut your teeth on a team like Benfica, because it's not going to get easy. So we just need to be at that level. So upcoming fixtures,
I'll say, is about the Benfica's women's team. So they're currently second in the kind of southern division of their league. But they're tied. They're really tied. They both have 18 points apiece against Sporting CP, and their goal difference right now, they have 29 goals for, 8 goals allowed, 21 plus goal difference at the moment. So they like to score, and that is something to keep in mind.
I mean, that's pretty decent, you know. Chelsea right now, just so you know, are plus 16. So not terribly far off, right? 19-4-3 against. So hopefully we can lean on our defense a little bit there. But as I was getting into the upcoming fixtures for the women's team, so they've got West Ham, Benfica women in the Champions League, Brighton women on the 13th, Benfica women on the 16th, Tottenham again on the 20th. So December 6th, December 9th, December 13th, December 16th, December 20th. That is a bit of a doozy, but I'm excited. You know, you're going to drown in Chelsea content this month, everybody. So embrace it. Let it wash over you. Take it all in, just like when we did the Adidas advert where they literally just poured paint on our players. We're back at it.
And it's a big month of fixtures for Chelsea too, right? Like, West Ham women at home, Benfica women away, Brighton away, although they're not that good. Benfica at home, and we got Spurs at home. You know, and of course, Spurs are not great.
Alex Morgan.
You know, just getting up to speed, but it's still a London derby, so yeah. You got to factor that in.
And Emma Hayes is a bit of a Tottenham fan, so there's always that silver lining. She'll do the business, though. You can trust her. Absolute professional. Loves the club, Chelsea, and everything is provided. Anyways, that's our month in review. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. We covered a lot. Felt really good about it. Kudos to Dan and Nick for putting this bad boy together. But we had a lot of favorite this, favorite that. Jump in. Let us know. All right? We want to hear what your favorites were. Easiest way to get our attention is through the Discord. Unless you're looking for Nick, then maybe try a different avenue. Social media is a good way for us.
Tweet me. I'm good.
It is good. But anyways, Dan and Nick, gentlemen, thanks for jumping in. Listeners, always, you're the best part about this. Get involved. Socialize with us. This is coming out on Tuesday. That means match day on Wednesday, right? So we got Sevilla in the Champions League. So we'll have our match review of that one on Thursday, and then already a Leeds preview Friday. So it's not going to be another big week. So buckle in. Enjoy it all. It's going to be a good one. But that's going to wrap us up, as always, Chelsea fans. So until next time, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.